you're entirely in control of this. I'm just going to sit back.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Reality NSFW Rewind with Professor Tim. We're rewatching season 4 of Survivor Marquesas, and Professor Tim is joined tonight by his lovely cat, Bay,
yes,
who has been very persistently making sure to be available for us.
Yeah, he's concerned about my glasses at the moment.
Yeah.
he thinks I've got the wrong glasses on. This is often the case. It's this time of night when he expects me to take my glasses off. So who knows if I don't take them off in time, he tries to take them off me anyway. So
yeah, he's probably possible. Ready for bed. It's like 11 o'clock at night, where you are.
So. Well, no, he just thinks I should go to bed. He will then prowl around the house, sort of making sure everything is okay and watertight. he doesn't go to bed at the same time anymore.
He's on guard duty at night.
He's on guard duty, yeah. And he looks after his older sister, which I suppose we should all do.
Yeah, that's a very noble thing to do.
I think it's noble. Yes, he's a noble animal. He's a noble animal. there we are.
So as you can see, Lauren is not able to join us tonight, so Bay will be taking her spot. I don't expect Bay to jump in and...
Ask a lot of questions. Bay will. I promise you, Bay will. Bay will make his presence firmly felt. He's quite determined. He's thinking, you know, is this Lauren?
Yeah.
Right.
So before we get started on episode 7, I wanted to try to do some work all together, but our schedules have been so crazy trying to get all three of us together at the same time to do this show. So we're gonna do it tonight. About 2 weeks ago, I sent Professor Tim a package in the mail, and it got delivered far faster than I expected.
Yes, I was really surprised to get my package so fast, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's inside it. Just before we do that, Sam has said, Tim, what is your boot order? What does that mean?
So he wants to know what order you think people are going to get voted out. I see.
He's asking me for far too much. I was looking all day for the thing on the Reality NSFW channel for the planned stream, so I can set it. We need to sort that out.
We're working on it, Sam. We're trying to get a consistent day going.
Yeah.
With it being summer, it's been so hard to coordinate our schedules to all be.
It really is very bad. Yeah. You're talking to a soldier on the one hand, and a campaigner on the other, and we have the world to save.
We do. It's just all on our shoulders.
Yep, absolutely. And Bay, of course, Bay is a little divinity, so you know he already knows who controls the world. there we are.
Thank
you very much. Okay, I know.
It's a very sweet cat.
He is a very sweet cat. His older sister likes to bite my nose.
Now, is Bay the cat that went with you on the circle?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. I thought so.
Yeah, Bay has got rid of his. No. She's sitting down there. She's sleeping at the moment.
Yeah.
So when she's sleeping, when the cat's asleep, the other cat can play. Right. So we have to investigate what's in the package.
Yes.
I'm tremulous and very excited. I feel I'm not being set up here, am I?
You're not being set up. Nothing's going to blow up. I had to send it through customs, so nothing.
Is this possibly some sort of pop up? What's the name of the probes? Is this a pop up probes?
We'll have to see what's inside the box.
Let's have a look. I've got ridiculous scissors, that the sort of scissors that you would be provided with in a nursery school.
Yeah.
So you don't prick yourself. Oh my goodness. There we are.
Right, it's not. Sam is correct. It is not Blue Chew inside.
Blue Chew. Blue Chew, yes. I think we're beyond Blue Chew. Right.
No Blue Chew inside. It's taped up quite well. I wanted to make sure that the customs people didn't open it up and mess up the how it was all presented and everything.
Oh, the surprise. Yeah, I one of my first jobs in life was being a nanny, and the mother in the family was a psychologist, an experimental psychologist, and she I remember she once produced an experiment on her children, where she had cakes and she decorated them with different colored icing to see which color children wouldn't eat, and they didn't like eating things which are blue.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
It's good to know. It was a serious experiment.
Well, if I, because I have kids that live at my house, so if I bake anything that I don't want them to eat, then I'll just make sure it's blue.
Well, I was thinking if you've got kids in your house, there's an opportunity for a serious experimental psychology. Now let's have a look. I've got something purple, and clearly quite wet. Oh my god! Oh, what is this?
Oh, did it get wet?
Quite weighty.
Okay.
Oh, this is a bit disturbing. and there's a lot. Oh, you've got to see this, haven't you? You've got to see, come. You're right. So it's this thing here, and it's in a sort of purple envelope. What is this? Oh my goodness! Yeah, this is the. Look, this is exactly the sort of thing I want. This is my Saint Jeff candle. So it's quite a girthy candle, isn't it? It is.
So if you're listening to us, if you're not watching us on YouTube, you're listening to us. Professor Tim just opened the gift that was from Lauren and I. It is a Saint Jeff prayer candle. I think it's unscented.
Yes. Well, I don't understand. I suppose so. This is we can extinguish Jeff.
There you go. You can do that
at relevant times. My goodness. And it's come with so much with so much packaging. Well, I'm. it is alarmingly.
We just know how much you love Jeff Probst, and how much you would love to have a shirtless Jeff Probst.
Well, I will. I will imagine I've got an element of him already with me now. But I hasten to add one of. I've been doing lots of political YouTubing recently, and one of our politicians, who went to Oxford, bizarrely, has got the nickname of Donkey, which has nothing to if he had this nickname in Greece or in Turkey, it would have an indication that he was stubborn or stupid, but the nickname in England would suggest that The thought of donkeys goes through my head even as I'm holding Saint Jeff in my hands, and I feel he and Michael Gove would have a lot to talk about.
If anybody would like their very own Saint Jeff candle, they are available on Etsy. I don't sell them, but I saw that, and the first person that came to mind was Professor Tim.
Absolutely, so. Because this is the man you can pray to when everything has gone dreadfully wrong, because I'm sure he is completely in charge of our lives and our hopes and our futures. And it's a bit disturbing lighting this and then blowing it out or blowing. Gosh, I'm going to be blowing Jeff Probst. No. Right.
All right. So let's talk about episode 7.
It's very difficult to move from Jeff Probst candle to episode 7. Right. Well,
it's quite a transition, isn't it?
It is quite a transition.
It's a very dramatic episode.
Jeff Probst does appear again and again. Now, I had this all prepared about 2 weeks ago. And now I'm suddenly faced with my notes, and I think I can't read half of this rubbish. What's that? It's something that happens as you approach 50, 60. Your handwriting becomes completely illegible.
A lot more like a doctor.
Yeah, or like a spider. Anyway, let me see.
So one thing that stood out to me was how they started this episode. I don't know if you recall this or not, but the Mara Amu tribe finds human remains close to the
camps. Right. That's right. The skull. But what's extraordinary about that, I thought, was that they started it and then it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, they didn't finish the story. Kathy gave us a little background on what a Pai Pai is.
Yes. I wrote that down. I'm so pleased you actually said that because I was going to call it pee pee, which probably would have been inappropriate. Pie pie. Yeah, okay. Pie pie. And so much of this just goes over my head. I think it's a sort of, but the skull. It's as if she was interrupted, and some great archaeologist came in. Oh, you must put this back. This is sacred.
I was really impressed with how much she knew about it. I don't know if she spent a lot of time studying Marquesas before.
Do you think it was real?
I think that it was real. The way that she described it is like it was a monument for like a ceremony spot, and they would participate in cannibalism during these ceremonies. So it seems to me like this could have been the remains of somebody who was once like a human sacrifice of some sort.
Well, cannibalism isn't necessarily about human sacrifice.
Not necessarily, you're correct.
And cannibalism isn't necessarily something... I was going to say cannibalism isn't necessarily something bad, but then I suppose if you're the victim, it probably isn't something you're looking forward to. Ooh, I'm going to be the main interest of this evening's meal.
We'd like to have you for dinner.
For example, I think in some cases people ate other people to gain their power, didn't they? And the Druids, I know, I don't think they were cannibals, but they certainly did human sacrifice and killed humans basically to find out what time it was. And if they fell one way, it was probably 2 o'clock, and if they fell the other way, it was 4 o'clock. It's a great way to tell the time, you know.
I guess.
Or what the weather was likely to be tomorrow. Oh, it's going to rain. You're not going to see that.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe they'd been interrupted, and but it was a bit sort of, yeah.
It was very brief. It just kind of came and went.
It was brief, came and went, but we did get the pie pie again, didn't we, in some form later on in the episode. So I think it was sort of, my feeling is it was sort of set up in a vague reality TV way, but it wasn't explored. And I think they were pulling back from doing something that I think they'd planned in a rather elaborate way, and then sort of, editing got in the way of that one, because it just felt to me as if it wasn't going as far as we wanted to go. Ooh, Sam is saying, do you guys wanna Google something fun? Absolutely. Marquesas was known for cannibalism. Oh, Sam, tell us more. Come on, you've set us going now. Did you know this is the only merged tribe to have to what in the buff?
To have a pink buff.
Okay. Yes. I do feel that buff is sort of on the edge of being quite rude as a concept. okay.
All right,
I've never heard of the word buff before, by the way.
It's a very unique brand name, isn't it?
Is it a survivor word?
It's not specific to survivor. Buff actually has a lot of products that are available publicly for sale.
It's a brand name.
It's a brand name. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Muff is a thing that women put their hands into, isn't it? That's a sort of thing made out of fur, which Victorians wear. Yeah.
Possibly.
It's also got, I know it's got other meanings.
Okay. I was like, I don't know, maybe here it means something different. I'm not entirely sure. But anyway,
I shouldn't even go down.
We won't go down that rabbit hole.
Right, buff. We're not going to be able to remove. Yeah, that was a foolish thing for me to say. Sorry.
So,
Sorry. So Sam is saying, search where you are located, then search how you would get to Marquesas. How would you get to? By TARDIS, I presume.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come inside the TARDIS. Oh, it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. which I suppose Jeff Probst would have said.
It's a grower, right. Not a shower.
Right. What I've got down here is says it's not developed. That's unlike Jeff Probst. And then we've got Rob Boston complaining about people being fake. I mean, you know, that is the pot calling the kettle black.
He was calling out Vesepia for being fake to him. He was saying that his tribe was a bunch of morons. And I think, honestly, he's just bitter because he's bitter.
He's bitter and he knows he's on the way out. That's the problem. He can read the edit even at that point. He knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
But then we get to
the beginning of the episode, we get to the part where Rob and Kathy volunteer to go on this mission. They have to bring all these special clothes and stuff. They don't know what they're going to do, but when they get there, they find out the tribes will be merging.
Yes.
Which I was playing the new phrase, they're turbing. And they're going to make the decision on what the new tribe's name is. And
isn't this what had happened before? I'm sure this is what had happened before. So surely they knew this was what was going to happen.
Oh, yes. They've merged in every season. So.
And they merged exactly like this. Two people were taken off to go and make the decisions.
Yes.
So there's nothing new here. The new thing is what Boston Rob does. And that is quite interesting because... he just bitches his way through it. He's really quite he's quite aggressive. And then he talks about, I've been lying this whole game.
Well, because he spends a lot of time talking to Kathy and trying to put doubt in her mind about alliances that she's formed and connections that she's made. And it's not entirely untrue, but I do think that he embellished a little bit for his effect. Yeah.
I'm sure he's done that, but he's chosen the wrong person.
Because Kathy is very intelligent.
Kathy is A, very intelligent, and B, straight down the line. Sean would have been a much more interesting character to have been doing this, by the way. John would have been an interesting character because he sort of... The Kathy-Rob dynamic... It's simply not going to work. What you get is the worst of Rob and the best of Kathy, and that doesn't give us any... There's no communication between the two. They're basically in two completely different shows.
Yeah. they really are, and you can tell even when you hear, like, Kathy's confessionals and you hear Rob's confessionals, just the different... players that they are, the different strategies they have going into this game.
I think her conclusion, and I think it's a really good statement, and it's one that if I were even thinking of playing in Survivor, I would be pinning this above my desk to get me in the mood. It's a game, but I don't think lying fits into a game. Now, I think lying does fit into life. I think there are truth is not truth is selective. So I think she's partly wrong. I think people can people can get on their high horse about deceit, and they can get really confused, because if I ask you a question, I don't expect you to give me the whole answer. So any question, what have you done today? I don't expect a minute by minute or second by second analysis. In fact, I'd be quite bored after sort of 5 a.m. Equally, even if we went into a court of law, and I were to ask you, what were you doing at 5:30 a.m. There would be parameters around which you could you'd be expected to explain. And I really, we wouldn't be interested in all the minute by minute stuff. So you tailor your truth, as Prince Harry would call it, your truth to the needs of the moment. In other words, you tailor your response to the audience, and that is deceit. It's just how far you take that manipulation.
I think the critical error that Boss and Rob is making in this season and in this episode specifically is he's pushing things too hard. And I think that by doing that, he really solidified himself as a target to get voted out today.
There's no question at all about that. But I mean, he gets everybody's backup and he just sort of goes through the entire cast. And he gets one person's backup and then another. I mean, he's onto a bit of a run here. But at the same time, Kathy is dooming herself by taking this high and mighty approach. So I would expect Kathy to go out next or fairly soon. Because she's set herself up as sort of, the white goddess, really.
And we see the general
that's as bad as setting yourself up as the snake.
Yeah, and we even see the general in this episode when, so we get to a point.
He's on his way out as well. Yeah. I'm afraid.
He's talking about how he's not lying to anybody. He's not talking to anybody. You can't play Survivor if you're not talking to anybody.
You can't play life if you're not doing this. And I would much rather. I'd much rather the game element was sort of pushed to one side and people realize actually what they're talking about is just real social interaction. And this is interesting. This is, there's not been many points in this Survivor series so far that have really excited me. This sort of thing and this topic really excites me because it touches on reality as we know it. And when people, there is nothing worse actually than accusing somebody of being a liar. That way, that's the first stage towards a libel action, and really nasty court case. You can't do anything. I don't think there's anything worse that you can actually accuse somebody of in public life, except for lying. Lying is the worst.
And Rob is so non. Discriminate about how he approaches this topic. For instance, when he's talking to Kathy and Zoe and really hammering Zoe and putting her right on the spot about, you know, didn't you say this was our alliance? Didn't you say that this is what we were going to do next? And of course, Zoe is going to deny it. So one thing he's being successful in doing by doing that, I think, is creating doubt in Kathy's mind about her alliances. Because then at that point, she doesn't really know what to believe.
Yes. And all the stuff about being a pawn. There again, I sort of earmark. I say, again, for the first time, they realize they're in a sort of chess game. But they're not the only players. And one of the things I realized when I was on my reality TV show is that, and I realized this very quickly, maybe I was smarter than these people have been. Maybe I wasn't, because I realized it and then I discounted it because that's the only way to deal with it, which is that we are manipulated, we're manipulating each other and we're manipulated by production. Now, sometimes I sort of over-egg that omelet and I see production as the great chef in the sky. But production really at its best, if it's cast well, it should be able to leave the cast to foul things up nicely for themselves. Now, I think in this particular episode of Survivor, it's cast appallingly because there is no light and shade. Everybody is pretty well a version of the same character, even Kathy. So there aren't any great characters coming out of this. Now, Boston Rob will be created as a great character later on. This is what you're telling me. Great. You know, he has potential, but he doesn't have potential within this cast. And this cast has a second problem, insofar as it's seen enough of Survivor up till now that it believes that the way to get everybody out, the way to win, is to take out all the interesting characters. So the moment somebody sticks their head above the parapet, they're gone. So the moment somebody expresses some sort of character, they're out. Vesepia, it could not be quieter.
She even said, what was she, like, mixing the fire while the big argument was going on between Sean and Rob and John Carroll. And she's just like, this is too much drama. She was not. She wants nothing to do with it.
She's a very, very clever lady because she has realized this is how this particular season is going. And she realized this quite early on in the season. I still have her pegged, I think, as the winner. I think initially I said Sean. I now think Vesepia.
Yeah, your initial prediction, I think, was that Sean and Vesepia would be the final two. That was your initial.
So I now think there is no doubt it's Vesepia because she's the only one who seems to understand what is going on here, providing she keeps her head down, which I think she will. I mean, you know, she's being goaded by these people all the time.
She is.
And she's still keeping her head down. So, you know,
she's what keeping a clever... her head down, but she's likable enough to the cast, I think, that they don't want to get rid of her. She's not.
Yes, but she's not. Can't see that. I can't see why she's likable at all because we're not seeing any character. Because the character has been so dominated by all these other people who are, for the most part, really rather unattractive. There's only been one or two characters in this season who you'd like to take home to show to meet your parents. Gabriel is one of them. And I can't think of anybody else. Zoe, of course, I'd like everybody to meet simply because I like to tell everybody about her name. But, you know, if you ask me to tell you to describe her, I can't. Or say something about her, well, there's nothing to say. This is the problem. These people are sort of ciphers because their only thing is to be... It's to look out for the slightest sign of life and then bash it on the head. So none of them get a chance to develop so far.
No.
Rob is the only one who has actually developed a character, and that's repulsive.
Yeah, it's not a good character.
And it's Kathy, really not a good character. Kathy could have developed such an interesting character, and even she has not gone as far as she could have done.
I feel like her edit in this season has been so crazy because she started out, I think she started the season with a character development. She was she was a strong leader. She was leading the tribe to camp. You know, she was kind of helping to take control. And then she got knocked down a peg because she was rubbing people the wrong way. She had to kind of lay low a little bit. And now she's still at the point where she's kind of laying low and stuck in this monkey in the middle situation where she has an alliance over here, and then she's got people over here creating doubts about that alliance. She doesn't know who to believe.
Well, so she's stuck. Again, you know, if you edit this after the event, which of course this is how it's edited, if Kathy was the winner, you could possibly structure quite a nice story for her. She's not the winner. So she has no story. She's a bit Blair. And therefore, all that sort of character development is irrelevant to Jeff Probst. So why would he use it? He doesn't use it. He's not interested. Kathy is a walk-on part, I'm afraid. I'm really sorry.
It's hard because... So when I first started watching Survivor, I was very clueless to television production and editing and any of that. And I never picked up on editing cues in a television show.
Am I wrong? I'm not wrong, am
You're
I?
Not wrong at all. No. It becomes very obvious once you know what to look for.
Well, because the difference that I've got is I've been on one of these things. Mm-hmm. So it's not even that I notice it. I sort of feel it. It's like I feel like I'm some sort of rose climbing up a wall. I don't even know how I'm doing it. I just know, and it's just extraordinary. I can sort of see it almost minute by minute as I'm watching the program, and I could almost edit it along. I know there are other characters in my mind as I watch this show, who of course we never see, these are the editors and the runners and the various people who are interfacing from the crew with the characters. I know the conversations they're having. These limited conversations where they're trying not to interfere, and of course they're absolutely controlling the narrative. And they're planting the conversations that they think have taken place or they know have taken place, so they can take place again with a camera. And they're never as good second time round. Because these are not professional actors. If you want to, this is the point about reality TV. You need to have cameras everywhere. So if you cast well, you know you've got a group of people who are going to rub each other up the wrong way, not in a Jeff Probst way. And and there's going to be an interesting event occurring sort of every program, and then you just have to edit it. But if you've not got cameras everywhere, you have to reproduce those interesting events, and that's impossible. That's when you get to the point where you've got to write your soap opera and get professional actors to learn the lines and learn them so well so that when they deliver them, it sounds as natural as it would if you just happen to catch two people chatting about a Jeff Probst icon that they've just found buried in the sand. And Mrs.
Well, and I do so.
Is that yours?
Thinking about Boston Rob. Also, I think the other thing that I wrote down about him for this episode is his poor attempt at, I mean, semi-successful but still poor attempt at creating doubt among the other Alliance to try to take the target off his back. But you can also tell that he's trying really hard to try to friend up the Mara'amu tribe, because as him and Kathy leave their little hut, I don't remember what it was called. There was a name for it. Where they discussed the merge. No, the Pai Pai was the grave ceremonial site. I think this one was called something else, and I didn't.
Yeah, but there was another Pai Pai in this episode. But I didn't note it down because I thought we were. You see, I made my notes thinking we were going to record that evening, and we didn't. So yes. Things went a little bit. Sorry, Sam. Sam, I'm so sorry. We got another Sam comment. You think the general would be more social because he's a limo driver? I suppose so. I don't know. I don't know. Isn't a limo driver supposed to sort of drive and not interfere? He has a screen that can go up between him and the people.
They tend to not interact too much, I think.
Yeah, he's a limo driver, not a London taxi. Did you know this season was casted by the Big Brother US casting director? So, Tim, that could be why you have different feelings towards this cast. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. But you see, the difference between this and Big Brother is in Big Brother, you have cameras positioned in every possible crevice. And they do capture every moment there and then when it happens. In Survivor, you don't. In Survivor, you've got people with cameras moving around the place stealthily, trying to capture what's going on as and when it happens. And so, therefore, you have to try and reinvent moments. And so you're missing the drama. There is no drama in this series so far, really, because what drama we've had has had to be reproduced, not very well. It's clunky. It's clunky, and it lacks that sort of drive, which oddly, because the other series so far have been filled with big characters who were not really interested in the prize, frankly. They were interested in sort of befriending other people or irritating other people. And these people are not. These people are not really interested in each other. They don't care who they step on in order to get that prize. And this is a foolishness. And it's a foolishness, incidentally, that was taken by the last episode of the last series of The Circle. What would you lose in order to win? Basically, you lose the show, because there's nothing more boring than watching a whole pile of people besotted with the MacGuffin. It's just dull. And it doesn't matter how well it's cast at that point. If the show is wound up into thinking that all they're interested in, if the cast is wound up into thinking all they're interested in is getting the prize, you know, just forget it. Because the last series, the last British series of The Circle, was probably the best cast they've ever had. And they were...
Are they still airing their British series of The Circle, or did it end?
It's ended. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if they were still making new ones or not.
No, just in my mind.
Yeah.
Just in my mind. I can't seem to let go of it. It sort of goes around my mind like some sort of strange mad person. You know, the circle, round and round and round.
Well, while we have a second, let's stop and hear from two of our sponsors, Manscaped and Lucy.
Oh, Lucy?
Yes.
Is Lucy Manscaped new?
Lucy is not very new. Whoops, what did I do? Okay, Lucy's not very new.
Oh, right.
It's a nicotine replacement therapy gum.
Oh, yes, you have to listen to this. This is terribly exciting. I don't smoke.
Well, if you do
smoke... I did think once I ought to try and learn how to smoke. And I did
it's a not play worth
once.
It.
I did a play once, and I had to learn how to smoke with my left hand, because I was a policeman, therefore, and I was a horrible policeman, so I thought I should be sinister, i.e. left-handed. And then just before the show, I was doing a bit of carpentry, and I put a Stanley knife, which would be you would call a box cutter, through my finger, and I have hemophilia, so I had to go to the hospital and get bound up. The director was not very pleased with me, and she wasn't happy.
Yeah,
and so I had to smoke with my right hand, and it changed all the blocking, and it. It was extraordinary, because you get so programmed into what you're doing. And you sort of think, oh God, what's going on there? Anyway, which Survivor cast was your favourite? One I loved, two I loved. Can't remember. Did I like three? I think I've liked them all up till this one.
There was so I didn't cover season three with you. Lauren did the finale episode with you with Lex Vandenberg. He was from season three.
Well, I liked him. So I liked season three, and Lex took a bit of time. To warm up, you know, I warmed to him. He took a bit of time for me to sort of fall for him, but I liked him, and I liked season three, I liked season two, and I liked season one. It's taking a lot of effort for me to like season four.
Yeah, season four. There's just my standout, Kathy. And I'm a little prejudiced about Kathy because she's from the same state that I live in.
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course we love Kathy.
Yeah.
no,
but
I
she's
think
one
Kathy
of only could... two. There's only been two people from my state that have ever played Survivor in all of these hundreds of contestants.
You should be number three, you see. I should be number three.
To tell CBS that.
Yep.
But they're not listening to me.
I would coach you so you'd be the best player ever.
I would have access.
And Johnny could give you some really good ideas, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
You know,
him and I could set something up to be real big for the family visit. Well,
you could do a Johnny and be nice.
I think
there's a way of undermining everything with niceness.
I think that I would. I think if I were a Survivor player,
you
I would
You are naturally
be,
nice, you say.
I would be nice, but strategic. There's a way to do both.
Yes, no. I entirely agree with you. Niceness can be placed in a very, very frustrating way.
All right, so let's hear from Manscaped and Lucy real quick, and then we'll
have
be
some adverts, and I'm so looking forward to Lucy.
The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. But you know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code SURVIVOR.
Brent, if you're paying attention right now, I know that you've probably had a mishap in the past and you've been trimming down there with not the tools for the job. Well, Brent, that's right. I'm talking to you. I have come to save you, but not just me. The folks at Manscaped. The world is starting to open up, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus two free gifts. What's that, you ask? Performance boxer briefs and the shed travel bag.
Talk about a world-class dismount into the post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. Wink, wink. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on off switch that you can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities.
Now, this package also comes with the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motored 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped's also throwing in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0. That's the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag.
Now go right now to get 20% off and free shipping using promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in three flavors: wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
And there we are, Manscaped and Lucy.
The Manscaped advert has changed.
They have both changed. They're a little more descriptive in the Manscaped.
I had to wince a few times, but who is Michael Phelps? I do know this name.
He's an Olympic swimmer.
Is he one of ours?
I think he's a U.S. swimmer.
Is he U.S.? Oh, there we are.
I'll be quite frank with you. I don't know much about Olympians or the Olympics. I don't follow them.
We have a fellow called Tom Daly, but clearly Jeff is going to be, needs to be taken daily too. But,
so there we are with Manscaped and Lucy.
Look, one of the things I got rather excited about was this name, Solianto.
Yes,
Solianto. So the illusion is that this is a Marquesa name.
Yes, they said it allegedly means sacred dedication to the sun.
Yeah, I think that's just complete rubbish.
I think that they made it up.
Soli is so this is a sol. This would be a Latin word. So I cannot imagine that Marquesa is using a Latin origin word. And Antu is one of the Babylonian gods. He was married to Anu, I think. So he's the first wife of the first husband. First wife. No, I think Antu was the first wife of Anu. You've got to be so careful with that name that you don't sort of start pluralizing it. It's Babylonian or Arcadian, or Akkadian, not Arcadian. Arcadia would be in the middle of Greece, and Akkadia is somewhere near Babylonian. So I think this is complete rubbish. I think this has been made up by a producer.
I do.
And then imposed on Boston Rob and Kathy, and they have to make the best of this imposition. But there's nothing that suggests this is an indigenous name at all. I'd love somebody to come back to me and say, absolutely, this is a name that I've called my son this. Of course, one wouldn't like to sort of follow the Arcadian thing and call your son Anu, particularly if there's two of them.
I think, I'd have to pass on that one.
A lot of passing. at least he'd be regular.
I have a prediction about the immunity challenge, and my prediction is that you're going to tell me that this was dull as ditch water.
What was it?
They're standing on a platform in the water.
Oh God, that was dull as ditch water.
I knew it.
Could you predict me saying this?
I could. That's my favorite. That phrase is my favorite phrase, and since the first time I've heard you use it, I use it religiously.
Do you not use this expression in America normally?
I had not heard it until I heard you say it.
Oh right, I'll have to find a few more for you. But dull as ditch. My God, it was a yawn. I mean, I felt I was standing there with them.
And
Kathy looked as if it was a birthing procedure. I mean, it was the whole thing.
But she made it to the end, and I was so...
She made it to the end, and I was so proud of her. She was determined to do it. She said, I'm being played as a pawn, and I need to make it to immunity if I'm going to survive. And she's quite right, but you're not going to get through much more unless she keeps winning those immunity challenges.
So funny that she was stuck on a losing try for so long, because I don't feel like she was the weak link.
She's a strong link. This is why she's on the way out. This is the point. This is the point of this game. This is the point of this particular series. And it has to change, because this is not the way to make good television. You don't want to get rid of your best characters before the end, because Sean is becoming slightly dull. Vesepia, we know, won't say anything because she thinks that, because she's read correctly. She's read the edit. And I don't know who that leaves. Maybe Zoe and some of these nameless people whose names I cannot remember.
Well, I'll tell you that I remember the first time I watched this challenge, I really was like, oh, Zoe has to win this challenge. Zoe is she does commercial fishing. Like she fishes.
Does she?
She's on a boat all the time. If I remember correctly, so why, Zoe is a commercial fisherman.
But isn't she one of the first to be sort of tossed off?
Well, because what happens, and the same thing that happens to Boston Rob, is she started kind of joking around and playing because she comfortable.
That's it.
Because she accidentally touched the platform.
Yeah, stupid. That's it. Because it looked as if she was touching a piece of cloth or something.
Yep. And the same thing happened to Rob. Rob started getting cocky and
absolutely.
Just got booted right out of it. So,
because he thought this was easy.
Right. And he was trying to splash somebody or something. And then lo and behold, the wave comes along and he grabs this platform and he's out.
Hoist with his own petard, to quote Hamlet.
So that was that challenge. Other than that, there's not a lot to talk about in that challenge. I would have to agree with your assessment that was pretty boring.
It's not entirely that boring because Jeff Probst has quite an interesting sort of come and get me at the end. come and get it. Come, leap into the water. Now you've successfully remained dry for the whole challenge. Come on, come and get it. It's like talking. Sometimes he behaves as if he's talking to a dog. It's so condescending. It's so demeaning. I would find him really irritating. And what's he doing with his shirt off here? I've not seen him with his shirt off in the show.
I don't think he's ever been without his shirt off in the show.
So why was he persuaded to pose for a candle of a sort of questionable size? Is this actually him, or is this some lookalike?
I believe that is actually him. I don't know where they got the shirtless photo from. My guess is, because that's not an official Survivor licensed product.
Somebody said, Jeff, would you like to pose for a 6-inch candle?
I think that photo is taken from, there's a sitcom in the United States called Two and a Half Men.
And, I know Two and a Half Men.
Yes.
Was he in that?
He guest starred on like one episode. And
what
was
shirtless
he doing
on that episode?
He was cooking something and he was shirtless in that episode.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't.
I don't think I've seen that episode.
So he
was that before the thingy me fellow left, or was that?
Oh, I don't know.
Because there was the fellow who left a bit in disgrace and then had to go off and do anger management.
Yes,
I can't remember his name.
Is it Charlie?
I'm sure he's going to have Charlie Sheen. There we are.
Yeah,
Charlie Sheen.
So I don't know if Charlie Sheen was
Charlie
or
Sheen.
Not.
He could polish that candle, get a nice shine on
get
it.
A nice shine on that candle.
Yep, shone by Sheen. Mr. Sheen.
I think that it may be edited out from a photo of him on that show because I remember seeing him shirtless.
So it's possible that the candle and all the sort of stuff comes from Two and a Half Men.
It's quite possible.
There we are.
There's that. Right. So otherwise, I mean that's really a lot of this episode.
No, not entirely, because we've also got some interesting observations about Boston Rob. So Boston Rob, because Boston Rob lies, he assumes everybody lies, and I thought that was an interesting bit.
Well, I think that's what happens when people lie a lot is that they can't trust themselves, so why are they going to trust anybody else?
Yeah, and I've also got a thing here. This gets to the heart of the game. Sean votes against John.
And he makes quite a speech.
Because he's first and foremost the mate of Rob, Boston.
Despite
all his stuff about underdogs.
Right.
Being gay and black.
Right, so he's upset with John. Because they had conversations about their experience in life.
Oh, yes.
Sean being an African American and John being gay. And he felt like, you know, there was a lot of connection there. But then when John kind of flipped, which I can't really blame John for flipping because Rob went and spilled the beans to Kathy about things. But Sean took that really personally because they had shared their life experiences in intimate detail together. So,
but why would Sean trust Boston Rob?
I think they had just been pegged together as the outcasts for so long that they've developed this bond to stay together. And I think throughout the episode, like I was talking about earlier, when Rob and Kathy left their meeting where they just made decisions about the merged tribe, he was trying really hard to win over the Mara'amu tribe members when they showed up there and they're collecting all the items and throwing it on the raft. And he's all, you know, go team, go team. He was trying really hard to win them over. But I think at that point, he had already created enough doubt in Kathy's mind that she's not going to be willing to change her allegiance.
No.
Because she's already questioning the allegiance that she has.
You see, I still think the way to win this game, to win this show, is with positivity. I think it's possible to do it. You've either got to be the arch devil, or you've got to be you've got to project something other than. I mean, even if you are busy turning everybody against each other, you've still got to project something positive. And I don't think Boston Rob does that for one moment. And I also don't think anybody else does it sufficiently so that we feel there's a, so you've got to have a character that people want to support and that doesn't seem,
but then you have to be careful doesn't seem on the other hand. Exactly, you have to be careful on the other hand, because once we start getting closer to where we're forming a jury, which always happens shortly after the merge comes around, you don't want to be somebody that's liked so much that people are going to look at you and say, if they go to the end, they have too many votes on the jury because everybody likes them. So the jury will vote for them because they're well-liked, so we got to get rid of them. So there's a balance that you really have to find. I think you can do it and be a positive person and be liked, but you just can't be too liked. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it's a poisoned chalice. It's a poison chalice. It's a really difficult game to play in the full glare of television publicity. You have to build relationships, says Sam, so that way it can lead to an alliance, so you have numbers to protect yourself. It's true. It's true. But I also think if you're going to play this game, you have to have one eye on your television personality and how that's coming across. And I don't think the people in today's show, in this series, are aware of the way they're coming across, because they're sort of, it's not, the life is, the life is out there, the life is among themselves, and we should be the first people to see that life. We should not be getting it secondhand. And that's the problem. And that's one of the things which was so different with the first series. The first series, despite the fact that the camera didn't always record the relevant conversations, we felt that we were seeing things before some of the cast members. So we felt we were there before they were. Mm-hmm. And that was really quite exciting. And that's where you want to be. You, the viewer, you want to be slightly ahead of the people playing the game. Whereas in my case, I'm so far ahead because I'm reading the edit. We don't want to be in my position. We want to be in the position where we're sort of taken along with the game. I'm only in my position because I'm a bit sort of lost and I'm thinking I've sort of given up on the game, really. I'm re-editing it, and I'm editing it as I go along, and I think, yeah, well, and that's where, that's why I'm sort of, you know, I would be the nightmare for somebody who's producing this show, this sort of show.
But maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need a new production style to help revamp the show.
Well, I'm sure they will get this, because there would be some people like me hanging around the place saying, "Hey, look, this is predictable and moreover dull. And if you want this to continue, it has to change. We have to." The audience always needs to feel that it knows more than the people on the show. And you treat the audience as something intelligent. The audience also vulnerability. The audience loves people who are vulnerable, and I don't feel there's anybody vulnerable in this series.
No, not particular. I think Kathy is.
She was the one who definitely had that option.
Yeah.
But even she's got a sort of,
And here's Bay.
Here's Bay. I think he's telling us that we're due for another advert and probably to sign off.
We are almost there.
We thought Boston Rob was going from the moment the show began.
And the only other point I had about Boston Rob, the thing that probably let me down the most in this episode was he spent so much time during the conversation with Sean and John, and even in his other conversations with John, threatening to air everybody's dirty laundry at Tribal Council. And then we get to Tribal Council, and all he has to say to Jeff is, there's more people here lying than me, and they're just not telling you about it, but I'm not going to name them. And that's it.
Yeah, well, he may well have said a lot more. People like Boston Rob are rarely that brief.
Yeah, he may have said a lot more that we didn't get to see because of the edit, but
yeah.
I just, because they built it up so much in the episode, I would think they would want to show us that in the show.
Well, yes.
I guess it depends on if it was suitable for television at that point. But
I think you might have been a bit irritated with it at that stage.
All right.
Poor Boston Rob. But you assure me that he becomes a nicer person. We like that.
He does become a nicer person.
I'm looking forward to the nicer Boston Rob, because Boston, I have a lot of fondness for Boston. You know, it's got some nice universities in it.
Yes.
And you know, I used to live, I spent most of my childhood living in a little town which was 10 miles away from the original Boston.
No kidding.
So there's a real British Boston, which is on the coast, on the east coast of England.
Mm-hmm.
And next to it, the next town inland is the town where I spent my childhood in, a place called Spalding. Which I think you think is a place where you get tennis balls. Or
well, there is a Spalding in Vermont.
Yeah, you did Spalding. Spalding.
We pronounce it differently.
Yeah, it's Spalding, spelled the same Spalding. Way. Yeah, exactly. I sort of swallow it, you know. not something I'm going to tell Jeff Probst. And
we do have one last interesting tidbit here from TV Mania 2. He says, one interesting thing, Jeff read one, or he or she, I apologize. They said one interesting thing, Jeff read one more vote than he had to at Tribal Council.
Oh, did he?
So most of the time he'll read votes, and when he gets to a majority, he'll stop reading. And in this case, he didn't. He just continued.
All right. I didn't pick that up at all. Do you know what Ponderosa? Yes, I do. I've been told. It's the hotel.
Yes.
Is this the place where the hotel is? Yeah, you see, Bay wants me to take off my glasses. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to do it in a minute. Okay. but he knows that when the glasses come off, he also has his medicine. Sounds a bit like Peter Pan, doesn't it? It's not nice, and he gets upset. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our episode for today, I think.
And we'll try and be a little bit more...
We're going to try to be more consistent. Hopefully our schedules calm down a little bit so we can get back on track. If we do get back on track, we'll probably be back on Tuesdays like we were, because for the most part, that tends to work for everybody with the exception of the past couple of weeks.
And you know, now I'm saying Z as opposed to Z. So to make it all fair, I'm going to teach you how to say schedule as opposed to schedule.
Schedule. Okay.
Yeah. There's not very many words which begin with a sh sound.
No.
But one or two we can think of. Schedule should be up there among them. Covered in it, frankly.
We're gonna by the time we reach the end of this entire series, we'll have both adjusted how we speak to a point that's unrecognizable to people we know.
We will be mid-Atlantic.
Yes.
we will be broadcasting from what is it? That island in the middle. What's that called?
Oh, I don't know.
Ascension Island. Ascension Island, I think.
It's very, very small.
Yeah, it's very small, and it takes 3 days for the post to get there or something. And I think during COVID, it's had no communication at all. Well,
I don't blame them. Yeah. I would do the same thing.
It probably has been unaffected by the pandemic.
Most likely.
Which would be rather lovely. I actually have a friend who comes from there.
Really?
Which is quite impressive. He's an opera singer. He's very good.
That is impressive.
So, yeah, it is impressive, isn't it? Where do you come from? I come from a place almost no one else comes from. I don't have any friends from the Falkland Islands. I think that would be the next impressive one, wouldn't it? I have friends who went there.
None who hail from there.
None who actually are indigenous. but then there's a big question about who might be indigenous. What is your prediction? Well, my prediction is that Vesepia wins. And
you've been holding pretty strong on that one for a while.
I'm pretty certain of that. Vesepia will win. Or one of these sort of people who I hardly notice. Who else do I hardly notice?
We didn't talk about Tammy much.
Who is Tammy?
Tammy's the crime reporter.
No, well, Tammy probably will get quite close to the end as well then.
So
anybody I haven't noticed, I think they're in with a really good chance of winning.
At this stage.
Who else is there? There's Tammy, there's Vesepia.
Vesepia, Zoe.
John is on his way out. Zoe will go now. Because she's created a bit of a character by falling off her log.
We've still got Kathy and Sean in there.
Kathy and Sean, they're on their way out.
We have the general. Sean
might survive because of the Sepia. The general will go, yes.
The general. And I'll tell you what, you probably don't have this company in the UK, but in the United States, there's a car insurance company. They're about to get some free advertising here. There's a car insurance company called The General.
Really?
And they have this little slogan that's like, for a great low rate, you can get online, go to The General and save some time. And every time I hear him refer to himself as The General, that's exactly what comes to mind.
You know, we have one called The Admiral, so I suppose...
Probably very similar.
Or Admiral, yeah.
It sounds like yours outranks ours, but...
I think General outranks an Admiral, doesn't he? I can't remember what you're the military man. You would
yes,
know.
We don't have... We have like it's
very, Nella. Very Nella, yes. I never remember her because I can't remember her name.
She's Pascal's friend.
It's like one of the and Pascal, of course. Yeah, he'll be out. Nella might make it. So there's my prediction: Nella, Tammy, and Vesepia, and maybe Sean. That's it. That's the last four.
Sean's going to have some making up to do to people, I think, in this next episode.
He's going to succeed. Don't worry.
Hopefully, Vesepia will pull him in.
He will be pulled in by Vesepia. And I'm afraid Pascal will be out, because Pascal's too charming and too lovely, and everybody loves him. And that's the point you were making.
Yep.
Get him out, because otherwise he's going to win.
Absolutely. All right, Professor Tim, if we wanted to find you online, where would we find you?
Well, you go to YouTube and zontoolfilms.com, and let me know what I should be talking about, because at the moment I'm doing 3 or 4 videos a day about current affairs, and maybe I'm doing too much about the UK and I'm ought to do something exciting about the US or some other country.
It might be dangerous to dig into the US.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little crazy over here.
Is it terribly crazy?
It's a little crazy. The political environment in the US is a little crazy. I'll just leave it at
that. You've got some interesting stuff going on with Mr. Biden today. and Cuba. Am I not right?
We always have interesting stuff going on with Cuba. We have such a strange relationship.
Yeah, I think what we want to know is we want to know more. Lots of people have got opinions. We just want the facts. We want to get the facts, and then we can have a few opinions as well. Often, you find newspapers and stuff are full of opinions and not a bit thin on facts.
Yes.
So we need to get the information so that we can then support our opinions. But yeah, so it's Zontul Films Limited on ZONTULFILMS LTD on YouTube, and then on Instagram it's Professor_Tim_Wilson, and much the same on Twitter, but Prof_Tim_Wilson. And then there's a thing called animate-tim.com where you can find a blog, which sometimes I keep up to date. At the moment I'm slipping a bit, but it tends to get drawings on it at the moment, and I'm even failing to scan some of those and put them up, but yeah, I'm remiss. I hear
you. I'm having a hard time keeping my social media up to date as well, but you can find me on Twitter at Cody Survivor. The rest of my social media, I keep to myself a lot. But I do own a travel agency, and I have been very bad at keeping up on the social media for that. So if you're looking for that, it's at Peak2Port on Twitter, facebook.com/Peak2Port. It's kind of a play on words, so going from Vermont to Green Mountains to the Caribbean ports for cruise ships. So you can find me at all of those places. Go out, give it a look. And of course, if you enjoy our show, you would really like some of the content that you get as a Reality NSFW patron. You can visit adfreensfw.com where you can sign up. It's really inexpensive. You get some really great content from Johnny Fairplay, Matt Bischoff, and a whole slew of other really great people. So, and they just had an event, actually. A whole bunch of the patrons got together with Johnny, with Matt, Zach Hacker, who is also on our YouTube channel. He is moving to Morocco. And so they just had a going away party in Cincinnati for Zach.
Oh, Zach, say hello to him.
Yes, absolutely. So he's moving to Morocco, so we wish him the best of luck.
We do.
Hopefully we'll still see him on the channel from time to time. But
well, we might see him in Morocco. We have to go and visit him.
That would be wonderful. I would love to go visit him.
we can do a survivor trip.
That would be a lot of fun. So, but they just had a whole bunch of the patrons got together with Johnny, Matt, Zach. They all hung out, had a really great event. Some of them went and visited Matt's house. There's all sorts of stuff. So become a patron. You can get in on really cool stuff like that. Adfreensfw.com. Thank you all so much for tuning in tonight and being with us. And before we head out, we are going to hear from our friends at Magic Spoon and Blue Chew, of course. We will catch you next week.
I think Johnny is going to be on our show at some point soon, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Sam has asked the question, is Johnny going to be on the show? Yes, he will be on our show probably sooner than later. So I'll get in touch with him and figure out when we're going to have that happen. He normally comes on during the family visit. Is that what you...
Yeah, exactly. Roughly, so. And I have to behave.
I don't see Johnny getting too offended too easy. I think you got to get up pretty early in the morning to offend Johnny Fairplay. But anyway, let's hear a word from our sponsors at Magic Spoon and Blue Chew. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you again next week. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel. Subscribe and hit the little bell button on the YouTube channel. You'll get notifications when we go live. It's somewhere. So hit the subscribe button and the bell notification. Change it to all, and you'll get notified every time we're live. So here we go with our sponsors. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Zach, back in the day, I used to love watching professional wrestling every Saturday morning after my cartoons. And whenever I did, my favorite part was enjoying cereal with it because cereal was cool. But of course, growing up, cereal being the best part as a kid, I had to give it up. Why? Because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't really eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, hey, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring, and Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff.
I am hooked on Magic Spoon too. This stuff has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. We're only talking about 140 calories in a serving. Plus, it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Now you can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. I am absolutely hooked on Magic Spoon. Like I said, my favorite is to blend some of those flavors. I like to mix up my cocoa with my frosted. That is some sugary deliciousness that I can't resist in the morning. Johnny, what's your favorite?
Oh, I'm mixing the cocoa with the peanut butter, and I'm doing a peanut butter cup action. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good stuff. And if you want to join us in eating some Magic Spoon, just go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.